All right, so we are holding on Chof Ches on the days. He said by the top of the Amud, I guess, by the two dots, the bottom one. Okay. All right, Mishnah to we'll continue from where we were. The Mishnah to the Baal Imahu Noi Bahasano, the Mishnah had said that one of the relatives that you're not allowed to give edus for them, or vice versa, is your mother's husband, meaning not your father, but your stepfather, him and his son, which would be your stepbrother, Bahasano, or his son-in-law, so your stepfather's son-in-law. Okay. So the question is, Benoit Hainu Ochi. Isn't the son of your husband, of the son of your stepfather, isn't that your brother? Presumably it means that your stepfather, you presumably means your mother married another man and they had a child together. That brother is your half-brother, so you have the same mother. So why is it repeated in the Mishnah?
It's in the Mishnah, it's repeated.
In the Mishnah, the Mishnah had mentioned Achiv, and now we're saying Baal Imahu Bnei Bachasano. So the question is, why the repetition? So Rabbi Yemiya says yes, but what the Mishnah is telling us is that also is also a brother of a brother, namely, welcome back. So brother of a brother means like this. Suppose that we talked before, for example, about Rapiya's family. Yeah, I don't know what brought that on, but whatever. We talked before about Rapiya's family.
Could we put a second table, maybe?
Okay, we've talked before about the family of Rechia and Rav, where Rav's father was born from one marriage, his mother was born from a different marriage, and then the husband from one and the wife from the other. Their marriages, either their spouses died or they divorced them, so the husband from one and the wife from the other married each other, and their son was Rechia, and therefore Rechia was a half-brother to Rav's father and a half-brother to Rav's mother. So the father and mother aren't related to each other at all, therefore they can marry, but Rechia is a half-brother to each of them. That's what we mean here by Achi Ha'ach. So imagine, in other words, you have a man, exactly like in this situation, whose mother remarried, and so let's take, for example, Rav's father, so let's take, for example, we have, yeah, okay, so the mother remarried. The stepfather has a son from a previous marriage who's not a blood relation to you at all. On that basis, you ought to be able to give aegis to each other. You're not related at all. What? Doesn't matter. Yeah, doesn't matter. But the point is, if it's just that he has a brother, if it's just that he has a son from a previous marriage, well, fine. That son is not a blood relation of yours at all. He doesn't have the same father as you. He doesn't have the same mother. However, you have someone in between later on. Your mother and your stepfather have a son together. Where therefore now you have he's a relative, and that, so he's a relative of a relative. He's a brother of your he's a half brother of your half brother.
But so is his father.
His father. So that Baal Imahu, we know that. We know your mother's husband. We know that. The Mishnah had said the point of mentioning Benoi, even though is that Benoi is not necessarily your brother. Benoi could mean, in other words, a brother of his from a previous marriage who is not a relation of yours at all. But he's a half brother of your half brother. Again, in other words, again, to give the example of Rav's family, it would mean, for example, let's say to have Rav's father testify, let's say, on behalf of Rav's mother before they got married, obviously, would be also on this basis because Rav's half brother is Rechia, and Rechia's half brother is Ima, is the girl who later on eventually married Rav's father. So that's what we mean. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah said. On the other hand, that's what the Mishnah means when it says Achiv, when it says Benoi. But Rav Chista Achshav Ba'Achiyah. On the other hand, Rav Chista said such a case is kosher. Omrulei, so they said L'Shmir L'Chol De Rav Yirmiyah. Didn't you hear what Rav Yirmiyah said? That's what the Mishnah means.
No, he came wrong afterwards.
And Rav Chista lived at the same time as Rav Yirmiyah. Omrulei says L'Shmirli. I never heard of this. Kolayim L'Shmirli, which is he meant to say by that I don't accept it. I don't hold it. I hold that when the Mishnah says "Hu Uvnoi," it means exactly what it sounds like. It means that this is a son who is his real son, not on both sides. He's your half brother from your mother's side.
Yep.
So the question is, "Hichochi Hainu Achiv?" In that case, isn't the same thing as your brother? You're back to the question which prompted Rabbi Yumi's explanation. Why would the Mishnah have to repeat it? The answer is Tana Achiv Mina'ah, because Tani Achiv Mina'ein, because the Mishnah wants to list separately a brother from your father's side and a brother from your mother's side. This your stepfather's son is not your brother from your father's side. You have different fathers, but you have the same mother, and that's the point the Mishnah wanted to make. So achi ha'ach would in fact be kosher. And that's the halacha. Another case, Omer Chista, Avi Chosin, Avi Kalam, Idin Zelzeh. The father of a Chosin and the father of a Kalam. The halacha is that achi ha'ach can give it. Not like Rabbi Yemir, but rather like Chista. Omer Chista, Avi Chosin, Avi Kalam, Idin Zelzeh. The father of a Chosin and the father of a Kala can say Eidus, which we call Mechotonim in our terms nowadays, are allowed to give Eidus for each other. So Mechotonim, your son married his daughter. Well, that's the point.
After this,
because they're not really so similar to each other, the Mechotonim, Eliki Achlo Ladana. Rather, at most, they're like a lid on top of a barrel, which is not really that similar to the barrel. So the same way, in other words, there's a loose relationship between Mechotonim, but it's not such a tight relationship that it should be an issue of it. For the most part, the same rules apply to din and nefashos as well. So yeah, whatever. Yeah, we said before that in general, anybody who's kosher to say edus on din and momenus is generally kosher for din and nefashos as well, with the exception that we talked about the other day. Din and nefashos, right? Well, we talked about the other day the possibility that not. We mentioned over there the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, Meir and Rabbi Yosi rather concerning certain psula edus. Because of Averus, it's kosher on Averus, but whatever, never mind. Okay. Amar Rav Abachana, made Adam l'ishtei Arusa. A man is allowed to give Averus on behalf of his wife who's in Arusa. So during the Averusin, before the Nisuin, he would be allowed to give Averus on her behalf. Amar Ravina, however, Ravina says, Loishat loyamar el apukimina. That only applies, he'd be able to give Averus if his Averus is going to cause that money is going to be taken away from her. Because Avalai Yulila Loimahaman, but to bring money into her, that not, because then presumably he's doing it because eventually they intend to get married and he's going to benefit from that money he's going to give.
So it's the same drink as your Shishvina?
No, this is a different matter.
No, I'm saying someone that you love and someone that you hate.
That we had Rabbi Yehuda saying in the Mishnah that you can't and the halacha is not like it.
This is something different.
This is what we're talking about.
For you, maybe.
Right. Velohi, however, because if you testifying, for example, that she owes money to somebody else, you don't stand to gain from it. You eventually are going to marry her. You don't stand to gain from the fact that she's paying. You're losing from it. But so therefore, your aid can be accepted. You're not in a gift of her. But if you're testifying that she's going to earn some money, eventually that money is going to come into the marriage as nifsim alor or nifsim by result, as the case may be, and then you're going to benefit from it. So you're in a gift of her. However, no, how are you going to give it to her if she's paying out money? How are you going to
if she loses money?
If she loses money. You're only an Arusa. You're only an Arusa and Arusa. You're not married yet.
No.
So therefore, that's what he's saying. However, the Gemara says, Veloihi, but actually that's not so. Loishnala puki, Veloishnala yuli. Doesn't matter whether to cost her money or to get her money. Loimaheman, then you don't believe him. Because you don't accept him as an aid. Because my daita, because what are you thinking? The reason why you should be able to. Kedomer Rav Chiya Ba'ami Mishmei De'ula. That it would be like the dinim that Rav Chiya Ba'ami says in the name of Ula. Ishtei Arusa, that when a man and woman are Mekudosh to each other, but she's Mekudosh to him, but there's only Eros and not Nisuin yet. He doesn't have the din of Aninus. If she dies, he doesn't, because he's a Koyan, for example, he's still allowed to eat Kachim, even though Koyan, if it was his full-fledged wife, he wouldn't be able to that the day of the death until the burial, because he'd be an Onin. If he's a Koyan, he's not allowed to become Tamimas for her. Similarly, she doesn't have Aninus for him, and she is not Metame for him. So you have the Rashi mentioned. Rashi discusses in a few different places. He mentions over here and in various places what it means for being metame for him. Women don't have an iser to be metame to anybody they want. B'nei Aaron v'le b'nei Aaron. So Rashi over here says it's true. It didn't really have to say it. She could be metame for him regardless whether she's in Arusa or not, or whether she's in the sewer or not, because she doesn't have the Isser. Elsewhere, Rashi talks about that it means that she doesn't have the mitzvah too, or that it means that even on the regal, even on Yom Tovim, when Chayavot Amotar Asma Beregel, we're taught that she's not allowed to just willy-nilly become Tomei because she's supposed to say Tahar, so she wouldn't be able to in this case, but had they been fully married, she'd be able to. Whatever. May say in a Yosha, the bride continues, if she dies, he doesn't yarshin her, unlike, as we learned from Baba Basra, a husband yarshins his wife, but you're not, because it's only Erosin. Mes hu goyva ksubasa, and if he dies, goyva ksubasa, then she collects a ksuba, provided that a ksuba was written during Eris, and usually a ksuba only takes effect after Nisuin, but if it was written to take effect during Eris, then she can collect it. Anyway, so you would argue then that given this statement of Rav Chiya bar Ami, we see then that she's not considered related to him in many ways, as far as Aninus and Tuma and Yerusha. So you would think, therefore you're going to argue that he's not really considered related to her, and therefore that he should be able to testify on a case involving her as long as he's not an Ageva Dover. No. The difference is Hasan B'Sheira Tala Rahmana. Because in all those cases, the Torah makes those dinim depend on her being She'eri. She'eri means his wife. She'eri is Meloshim Kiruv Basar because they have relations, but that doesn't happen during Eresin. So therefore, that's why he can't be Matame for her, because not She'eri yet. At that point, she's not She'eri yet during the Eresin. Whereas over here, the problem why you're saying that he can't be an aid is because they're very close together in thought. Because after all, there's an Eresin going on over here. They're coming close to each other. It's more than friendship. His daf is closer, is too close to her. Therefore, in other words, it is a matter of being, it's not just a matter of being a gave a daughter monetarily. It's a matter of, therefore, he's considered too close to give Eidos on her behalf.
So it's in between
Sheira. So it's not Sheira, but even so. Now, the fact is, the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra, the whole concept of relatives not giving Eidos is ultimately Exeidos HaKosim. Because otherwise, you would say that we would say, for example, you can't give Eidos, well, like this, for example, we can understand, let's say, you can't give Eidos on your brother, let's say, or your other close relative or whatever to exonerate him because
right.
It's a Negev Adover, but you would argue, why can't you give Eidos against Exeidos HaKosim that you can't. So in that case, why is the Gemara mentioning over here the matter of whether it's Kruvi Daita or not? It shouldn't matter.
Because the
question is, Exeidos HaKosim covers any case of relationship, and you're saying he's possible Eidos, then that should mean, in other words, it is included in the Exeidos HaKosim, and it doesn't matter whether we shouldn't have to bring in the reason that Kruvi Daita, we shouldn't have to bring in the reason that he and her are close. So Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about this a bit, and he says that one thing is maybe what the Gemara is yes, it is Exeris HaKosu, but we still are trying to find the reason behind Exeris HaKosu. The reason is because it grew a daita. Still, okay, that doesn't fully explain, because it doesn't explain why you can't testify L'Chayva, but nevertheless it does explain the basic idea behind relatives not testifying is it grew a daita, and therefore you don't, therefore the Gemara is just giving the reason here behind Exeris HaKosu. Not giving a separate. Then the Mishnah continued, Choger Levadoi. Then the Mishnah had mentioned a tenth relative. We had listed nine relatives in the Mishnah, and then we listed a tenth one, Choger, which is your stepson. So you remarried, your wife had a son from a previous marriage, that's Choger. And we said Levadoi, meaning only him, meaning unlike all the other ones in the Mishnah, where it's also, the Issur also extends to their son or their son-in-law, here it does not, it's only him. So, Tanan Abana, we learn in a Braisa, Choger Levadoi, like it says in the Mishnah, of only the Choger, only the stepson himself, you're also to give Eidos for him or him for you. Rabbi Yossi and the Gisa, Rabbi Yossi says his brother-in-law. As the Gisa we explain in the Mishnah. No. Rabbi Yossi is saying Gisa, we're going to figure out in the Gemara what he means by that. But all he's saying in the Braisa is the word Gisa, which means his brother-in-law. Gisa, there's a couple of different kinds of brothers-in-law, Rashi on the Mishnah, and that means your wife's sister's husband. Your wife's sister's husband is the one meant by Gisa. Because, and the reason why Rashi had to mention that, by the way, is because if it meant the other kind of brother-in-law, if it meant your wife's brother, that's more obvious. We learned before, you and your wife are considered the same person. Obviously, you can't give Eidos on behalf of that kind of brother-in-law. Okay. So, V'tanya Eidos, then you have another braisa that says Gisa Levadoi. Another braisa says the brother-in-law only, meaning in other words that the din of that it includes the son and includes the son-in-law does not apply to Gisa, it doesn't apply to your wife's sister's husband. Rabbi Huda, I'm a Chorge, and Rabbi Huda says his stepson. The question is, my karma, what do these two braisas say? One braisa is saying Chorge Levadoi Rabbi Yossi and Gisa, the other one says Gisa Levadoi Rabbi Huda, I'm a Chorge. What do they mean? My karma. Eli Mahachikama are going to argue that the two braises mean like this. The first braise is Choger Levadoi, Vehu Adin LeGisa. Maybe the first braise means like this. this that we're saying, and the concept of levada, that sole edus, applies only to the person listed, not his son or his son-in-law, applies to her, right? And the first braita would be saying implicitly, the same thing applies to Gisa. The same thing applies to your brother-in-law, only he is chasal edus for you and you for him, but not his son, and not his son, which would be your nephew by marriage, and not his son-in-law. The author of Yosef Lemaimer, and then in the second brisa it would be in the first brisa. So the first brisa we would say Chorge Levadei, and the same thing Gisa is also Levadei. The author of Yosef Lemaimer Gisa Levadei who had in the Chorge, and Rabbi Yosi in that first brisa is just coming to say I put it the other way around. I say it's not really an argument then. It's just saying that the rule applies to Gisa, and the same rule applies to Chorge. Well, the problem with that is, if you're going to go like that, our Mishnah mentioned Gisai, your wife's sister's husband, and his son, which is your nephew by marriage, and his son-in-law, all of them are possible ages for you and you for him. If you're going to understand those braises that way, that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that Gisai is levadai, that your Gisai's son is not possible ages, well, then Mani, who is our Mishnah like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Then our Mishnah doesn't fit like either opinion. So it can't be that's what the Braisa means.
Because
the Mishnah had said that Chorge is the only exception where it doesn't include his son and his son-in-law. The Mishnah said that Gisai was included in the list with everybody else where his son and his son-in-law are also possible. So if we understand the Braisa that way, that it's just Rabbi Yehuda is starting by mentioning Gisai and is starting by mentioning Chorgoi, and Rabbi Yossi adds Gisai or vice versa, that both of them are Levadai, then the Mishnah doesn't fit like either one of them. And we don't know of any third opinion. No, so it can't be. The Ela Hachikama, maybe then what the Braises mean as follows. The first Braises is saying Chorgoi Levadai, your stepson is taket true, only he is postulatus, not his son, which would be your step grandson. But when it comes to your brother-in-law, yes, he and his son and his son-in-law would all be postulatus. Fine, that would work with our Mishnah.
The exact definition of the Gisa
is your wife's sister's husband.
It has to be your wife's sister's husband. It can't be like your wife's husband, which is commonly in modern Hebrew.
So that's the thing, because not your wife's husband, you mean your sister's husband. Right, where your sister's husband... Right.
Well, yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, okay. Where your sister's husband is obviously possible, because again, Ishtek Yugufa, your sister and her husband are considered one person, not really equivalent of giving ages for your sister. You can't do that. Similar, I mean, there's three kinds of brothers-in-law, right? You have the act of another brother-in-law is also your wife's brother. Same problem.
Does the word just say... that in this case it means geese, or is the strict definition of the word geese to be your sister?
I think that generally the word geese in Hebrew has pretty much the same range of meanings as brother-in-law in English, meaning it can mean any of those
in modern, Hebrew.
Well, and you don't find the word geese in Tanakh, so we don't know what they called it in Tanakh times, But in Gemara, apparently it means
your wife.
Well, for purposes of our sogia, it can only mean your wife's sister's husband, because all the other possible brothers-in-law are already covered under other grounds anyway.
So they just assume that we know that.
Yeah.
They just use the word gi
to
only include the one thing that would be questionable.
Right. Okay, so if we understand the first braisa to say Chorge Levadei, only your stepson is postulatus, not his son, not his son-in-law. Avo Gisehu Noiv Hasanei, but when it comes to your brother-in-law, he and his son-in-law are all postulatus for you. Fine, that would fit with our Mishnah. But also Rav Yossi Lameima Gisei Levadei, then Rav Yossi would be coming and arguing with that, saying the other way around. He's saying, I say it exactly backwards. That only Gisai is possible to you, your wife's sister's husband is possible to you, but not his son and not his son-in-law. But he would say the opposite of Yehuda, that when it comes to your stepson, that's considered just like your own son, and he and his son and son-in-law would all be possible. So that would work with our Mishnah. The problem with that is it doesn't work with a Braisa. The Elohani Tani Rav Chiya. What about a Braisa that Rav Chiya taught, which we learned on Amud Aleph? Shmoina Ovis Shein Etzion Vavva, that you have eight fathers. The Mishnah had listed 10 relatives, but each one of them includes includes him, his son, and his son-in-law. So 8 times 3, Shein Etzion Vavva, comes to 24. The problem with that is our Mishnah listed 10 relatives and said that only one of them is an exception, that that it doesn't include a son or a son-in-law. So come on, who would Rabbi Chiya's Braisa be then? Like Rabbi Yosi, but like Rabbi Yehuda. It wouldn't be like Rabbi Yosi. It wouldn't be like Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yosi, because what you would be saying is both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, out of the 10 relatives listed in the Mishnah, 9 of them, it's called Noiva Chasana. So that's not 8 times 3, that's 9 times 3. So the Rabbi Chiya's Braisa wouldn't work out according to either one of them. El ha-chikamar. So no, necessarily, therefore, what we have to be saying is that what the brisos mean is as follows. Choger levader, the first brisos starts by saying only your stepson is pasul la'edus, but his son or son-in-law would be kosher. Avo gisoy huv noy v'chasoneh, but when it comes to your brother-in-law, he and his son and his chasen and his son-in-law are all included, like our Mishnah says, fine. But also Rabbi Yosi the Meimer, and then on the other hand, Rabbi Yosi comes to say Gisa Levada V'Choshekin Choger Levada. On the contrary, Rabbi Yosi is saying that when you're saying that you Rabbi Yehuda are saying Choger is the only one Levada. No, I'm saying even Gisa is Levada. Even your wife's sister's husband, which is in a way a closer relationship than a stepson, even he is Levada. How much more so your stepson, who after all is not a blood relative of yours at all, that his son and his son-in-law should be kosher.
Wait a second, they're both not blood.
What do you mean? Stepson is not your blood relation.
Yeah, but
your gift is not a blood relation either. True. Okay, fine. But at least it's a bit of a closer relationship in a certain sense.
Your step-brother and your stepson.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, let's put it this way. Because after all, your brother-in-law's son is your wife's nephew, and therefore your nephew. Ishtei kegufa.
Ah.
Right.
Very good.
Okay. And the truth is, I don't know if that really works. I don't know if that really works out because Khorga is also ishtei kegufa,
sure,
and therefore, like you say,
sure,
your son is your son's. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So why is he saying Kolshekin then?
Yeah,
so what is his Kolshekin?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't
we'll
know.
We'll have to write that to the Malas and see what he answers.
But that's what he's saying, is that Gisoy is only the Gisoy, so therefore how much more so Chorgo should be only Chorgo. Which, by the way, Rashi points out that it means then that Rabbi Yosi is actually, Rashi says that it means that Rabbi Yosi is actually disagreeing doubly with the Mishnah. Number one, the Mishnah mentioned Gisoy, who Noiv Hasanoi, and Rabbi Yosi is disagreeing with that. Second of all, though, it also means that when the Mishnah had mentioned one of the ones that's listed in the Mishnah is your mother's sister's husband, which is the reciprocal of your wife's sister's husband. So, It means that Rabbi Yosi would disagree with that also. To your wife's sister's husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same thing reciprocally. The only difference is Rashi says that what it means is, in other words, that Rabbi Yosi would say, fine, your actual uncle by marriage, your mother's sister's husband is pasul la'edus, but only him. In other words, it wouldn't be pasul mitzad uncleship, not mitzad brother. In other words, therefore, your nephew by marriage would be kosher to give Eidus.
Yeah, and it's not a wife. Yeah. Why the uncleship would be more possible than the brothership? It would be the opposite in really.
So
it should be much
because
the opposite.
Because no. So what we're saying is, in other words, we understood that in the Mishnah, all the relationships that mentioned in the Mishnah are reciprocal. If you're possible to give Eidus for your uncle, for example, your uncle is also possible to give Eidus for you. Rabbi Yosi doesn't have to accept that. Rabbi Yosi is able to say, therefore, that you would be able to give Eidus for your nephew by marriage,
right?
But not the reverse. He wouldn't be able to give Eidus for you because you are to him his mother's sister's husband.
So what's he got in relationship? The relationship in reverse relationship are just as equal
But he doesn't have to say that it is. He would be disagreeing with the Mishnah. He would be
on the basis of he
can have that's his svara.
It's not the distance.
But that's his svara. That's his svara. That he would say I'm not going to pass on a person on the basis of him being your brother-in-law's son. So therefore, in other words, the point is, Rashi says, therefore, fine. As far as that, actually, it would be possible because of the reciprocity. What wouldn't be the issue, though, is your brother-in-law's son-in-law would be fasher. Whereas if you looked at it from the point of view of uncleship, then it would be possible. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing with the Mishnah on that. So that's what it was. Not your uncle's son, rather, but your uncle's son-in-law. Versus your brother-in-law's son-in-law.
Son-in-law would be kosher.
That's what Rabbi Yossi would be saying by Gisa Levadre. He would say therefore that only your brother-in-law is possible, but not Bnoi. Okay, Bnoi is going to be possible on another grounds anyway, but not Hasanai. Then Rashi brings another explanation, which he doesn't like. It's actually the explanation of the Rif, that here we're talking about if your brother-in-law has another wife and has a son from her. Rashi says that it wouldn't make a difference. So getting back to the Gemara. So therefore, so Masnissin Rabbi Yehuda, Braisa Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, our Mishnah would go like Rabbi Yehuda. So when our Mishnah says that Gisoy Hu Vnoi V'Chasonoi, that would go according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says the only exception to the rule is Chorgoi, which is exactly what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Chia's Braisa, which lists 8 relatives, each of which is a Hu Vnoi V'Chasonoi, making 24, that would be according to Rabbi Yossi, who says you take the 10 that are mentioned in the Mishnah, subtract Chorgoi and subtract Gisoy, and multiply by 3.
That's 24.
So 24, yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, halacha, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now, what do we mean, though? There's 2 statements that Rabbi Yossi said. One in the Mishnah, one in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, when we started listing, after we listed the list of relatives, Rabbi Yossi said this is all only according to Rabbi Akiva. Mishnah Rishonah had a much smaller list of relatives. And then in the Braisa over here, we have Rabbi Yossi excluding, according to the way we said at the end, that Rabbi Yossi is excluding Gisoy and Chorgoi from the Bnoi V'Chasonoi list.
Okay. For what?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. When we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, what do we mean? Do we mean the fact that he said in the Mishnah that there was a Mishnah Rishonah that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, in which case the halacha might well be like that Mishnah Rishonah, and therefore most of the relatives that we mentioned would not be populators? Or do we mean the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa, that you have 24 people plus Gisoy and Chorgoi, so 26 altogether, but they're all puzzles. So there was a shtamatana on which 2 brothers-in-law were signed as edim. Rabbi Yossi thought to say it's kosher. Because if we're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, he understood that to mean that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah, meaning that Rabbi Yossi is saying that the whole list you gave in the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Mishnah Rishonah says differently.
So then what we're saying, Rabbi Yossi holds like the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yossi would hold like the Mishnah Rishonah, yeah. Because if we didn't have Rabbi Yossi saying that, we would say it's a Stam Mishnah, and the halacha is like the Stam Mishnah.
Right.
Now Rabbi Yossi comes and informs us only a Das Yachid.
Right.
Okay, however, who says that when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, he meant Rabbi Yossi's statement in the Mishnah, which therefore would come out that a brother-in-law is kosher? Dilma Rabbi Yossi de Braisa, the possible, because say maybe it's Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa who says your own brother-in-law is possible. Your brother-in-law's son, fine, would in principle be kosher, except for the fact that he's also reciprocally your uncle's son, and therefore kosher on that basis. But your brother-in-law's son-in-law would be kosher, but at least your brother-in-law is possible. The answer is lois apodaitach. So Rabbi Yosef answers, and you can't think that. D'omar Shmuel, because we're going to know Pinchas, because Shmuel gives an example. For example, myself and Pinchas. That Pinchas was Shmuel's brother, to have been an Achi Vigisi. We are both brothers and brothers. Pinchas was Shmuel, the Amorite's brother, yeah. He's mentioned in a couple of other places in Shas, yeah.
Not Pinchas
from Shas, from Tanakh, no.
Pinchas,
that was his name. The brother of Shmuel. Not a brother, he was a brother and brother-in-law of Shmuel, because Shmuel and Pinchas were brothers, and they married sisters. So therefore, Shmuel is saying, what would be an example of two people who are apostles to give eders to each other? For example, Pinchas and I, we were both brothers and brothers-in-law, implying our gisidama shapidami, implying the pastures that regular brothers-in-law would be.
In case previous difficulties. We didn't say brother and brother.
No, but the point that Shmuel would be saying by that, why are Pinchas and I possible to give aiders to each other? Not because we're brothers-in-law, that might in fact be kosher, but because we're brothers. Well, that would imply, if you understand Shmuel that way, that would imply that regular brothers-in-law are kosher.
Right. And therefore,
the problem with that is, Dilma could go and know Pinchas, Mishum Degisei Kamar. Maybe not. Maybe Shmuel is giving an example of himself and Pinchas and saying that in fact we're possible on the grounds of being brothers-in-law. Meaning, in other words, even if we weren't brothers,
right,
we would be possible on the grounds of being brothers-in-law.
In terms of brothers,
but it could be that Shmuel means that. So you can't prove from Shmuel's statement that brothers-in-law would in fact be kosher.
Because he might mean brothers.
Okay, yeah. So, Omalei, Rabbi Yosef says to the guy who has the shtar, okay, I give up. There doesn't seem to be a way to be machshir the edim on the shtar. Fine, zil kanya be'edim esira, kirabalaza. Fine, go at least and make a kinyan on this matana that you received using edim esira, meaning make sure that there are edim, meaning if you have edim, not a new kinyan, but if you have edim that were present when this shtar was given over and those edim are not these two brothers-in-law, bring them to Beis Din, and fine, then that can work on that basis. Like Rabbi Loza says, that Edim Asira characters, that the Edim Asira are the important thing. However, Va'amar Rav Abba Moedir V'Loza V'Mezuyif Metelchash Rapasol, that still doesn't work, because Rav Abba says that even Rav Loza agrees that if the Shtar is Mezuyif Metelchash, if within the Shtar itself there's evidence of forgery, or in this case of it being invalid, in the sense that you have two people who are Apostle Edus signed on it, then no good. So therefore, even with Edim Asira, it's not a Shtar. On the way, so Rabbi Yosef says to the guy, Zil, you have to go. They're not allowing me to. They've disproved me and shown that there's no valid way in halacha to say that the shtar should be kosher and that the matana should be kosher. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, then we get it. That's it. So then that's it. The shtar matana that had two brothers-in-law signed on it is possible and there's no way to make it kosher.
So the halacha is,
that brothers-in-law are possible to give edus to each other.
And that's according to?
That's according to Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa. We're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and we're understanding that Rabbi Yossi's statement in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi's statement in the Braisa, not his statement in the Mishnah. Yeah. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oy Mechola, Rabbi Yehuda had said that a good friend, namely a Shushvin, the one who is involved with your wedding, or a sone, where you haven't spoken to each other in 3 days, apostle to give edus on each other, and the Chachamim said Jewish people are not suspects of testifying falsely for that. So, Amar of Tanchum, Amar of Tava, Amar of Bruna, Amar Rab, Halacha could be Yehuda. On the other hand, Rava, Amar of Nachman, that an Oyeb or a sone would be possible. On the other hand, Rava, Amar of Nachman, ain't Halacha could be Yehuda. On the other hand, Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, no, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Lava Chana says the same thing in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and Oyev or a Soine can give aid. Ika de Machmi Lahod de Rabbi Baba Chana Acha. There are some people who
find a conclusion.
No, well, there are, that is in fact the halacha, but we'll see. There are those who say that Rabbi Baba Chana's statement was not referring to our Mishnah, but rather to a different thing. Namely, Rabbi Yosi Agruvi darshan the pasuk as follows. The pasuk says, "Uvaster alakayin parshas shofetim, uvaster alakayinim alavim." You should come to the kayinim alavim, veal shofet asheyir bayom rahim, or to the judge who exists at that time. So the question is, what do you mean at that time? Chitalah dayt hashadim haylachet shofet shalayhe biyamav. What do you think? How is it possible a person would go to a dayan who is not in office at any his time? So what does the pasuk need to add those words? Elo zeshahayakodav v'nisrachet. What the pasuk is hinting at is, let's say the dayan was somebody who previously was your relative, but at the time the case comes to him in Beis Din, he's no longer your relative because the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that we were quoting from that we're going to be discussing now is not the Oyev and the Soine, that's the next piece, but rather the other statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, which is that if we had a case of the Korav and Nisrachik, if you have somebody who was your relative and he isn't anymore, for example, you had somebody who was your son-in-law and then his wife died, so now you and him are not relations, are not relatives anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, though, if he has sons from her, meaning therefore he has grandsons, he has children who are your grandsons, then he's still the apostle. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what we're saying. How long of Yehuda or not? Okay. So we're talking about a shofet who at one time was close to you. It was a relative of yours. Now he's not, because let's say again he was your son-in-law, and now his wife, your daughter, died. So then you're allowed to go to him. That's what he means. By Yom Ha'im, at the time when you go to him, he's a kosher dayan because he's not related to you. On that, Rabbi Rav Chana is telling us that the halacha is indeed like the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Agrili, and such a dayan would be kosher. Here's a case. B'nei Chamur de Ma'ukva Kulei Mitzrach Kuhavu. The sons of Ma'ukva's father-in-law, so these are his brothers-in-law, were Kroyim and Israhaku. They were originally relatives, and then they were distanced because their sister, Ma'ukva's wife, died. So now they're not relations. Now they're not relatives anymore. Also, Lekamed Lajina. One time they came before him for a din Torah. Amalahu Pastona Lachu Lajina. He says to them, "I'm counseling you that I can't judge your faith." So they said to him, "My daitach Rabbi Yehuda. What do you think? The reason why you should be puzzled is on the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you have children from your wife or sister. Therefore, you have children who are our nephews. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would make us puzzled. Anan my sin and igur temimah rava. We will bring a letter from the west, meaning from Eretz Yisrael. That ain't alocha Rabbi Yehuda. That the alocha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So judge our case for us." So he says to them an expression, what do you think? I'm stuck to you with a cab of wax? In other words, of course, you're right. Of course, I'm not related to you anymore. On that basis, I would be able to judge your din Torah. The only reason I'm saying I'm puzzled to judge your case, because I know you, you're not going to listen to what I say in the din Torah. Maybe they figured because they were his brothers-in-law, they could get away with it. Whatever it is, therefore he knew these kids, what kind of things. There's nothing to do with relatives. The halacha taka is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and people who were relatives and aren't are. In the case of Edom, it has to be they were already no longer relative at the time the thing happened. If they were still relatives at the time of the loan, let's say, and they're no longer relatives at the time of the Edom, that wouldn't work. In the case of Dayanim, you don't have that. Because we thought, because these brothers-in-law were going to prove that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. We said before. Because we said before, Rabbi Baba Chana Amar Yechanan ain't Allah Kirab Yehuda, but then we said not necessarily. We said Rabbi Baba Chana's statement might have been referring to a different case.
We'll
see. It's now 9:11. We have another 15 minutes.
No, but don't have
but
to
I know, I know. Officially today is that valid. I know.
Let's talk in more doing.
Okay. The Mishnah said Oyhev Zeshushvin. The Mishnah had said that an Oyhev is a Shushvin, and he's possible Eidos according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Kama, for how long is he possible? Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yemi, Amar Rav Kol Shivat Yemei Mishnah. It means throughout the 7 days of the wedding. The Rabbanan Mishmei the Rava, Amri Apilu Miyem Rishon Beilach. The Rabbanan say in the name of Rava that no, it means that even from the first day and on. So the Yad Ramah talks. So the Yad Ramah talks about a couple of possibilities, what it means. First of all, Rashi over here says that it means Apilu Miyem Rishon Beilach. Even from the first day and on, it's already the Shushvinus is over, and therefore he's Kosher Lahoy. It would only be on the day of the wedding itself. But the Yad Ramah brings a couple of other possibilities that maybe what it means is even the Rabbanan would agree he's Kosher on the first day. Okay.
So the halacha.
The halacha is not like that. The halacha is that the halacha isn't like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. The halacha is a Shushvin is Kosher even on the day of the wedding. Then we said an enemy who, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is possible Eidos, is if you haven't spoken with each other in 3 days. How do we get this? Because the Pasuk says, in Parashas Maaseh, the Pasuk goes on for about 20 Pesukim dealing with the dinim of Oretzeach, Oretzeach B'Shogeg, Oretzeach B'Mezid. So at one point it mentions over there that on the surface, the Pasuk that we're going to quote is talking about the Oretzeach B'Shogeg. That the loy of loy the loy backer should also say he wasn't his enemy, he wasn't looking out for his arm. The problem with that is that we have many other psukim in that section already are talking about that the guy, not in that section actually, Rashi mentions in Parshas Vaskanan, for example. You have that, you have other psukim that make it clear that a Retzeach B'Shogeg is by definition somebody who didn't hate the other guy and wasn't out to get him. So what are these psukim adding? So therefore what we're going to do is we're going to darshan that pasuk, who loy oyev loy, as referring to the aid. That the aid has to be somebody, only somebody who's not an enemy to him can give aidus about him. And only one who's not out to look for his harm is one who's able to judge him. So therefore you see that a soina is part of life. Okay, question is, Ashkechan soina. Fine, in that case, that tells us that an enemy can't give edus. Oyhev menolon, what about, how do you know a friend, a shushin, can't give edus? The answer is, kori beihachi, because you can read the psukim as follows. Because you can understand the pasuk in a negative sense and the positive sense, that he's not an enemy for him and he's not a friend to him, but he's neutral. Only then can he give aegis on him. And when it says that he's not looking out to harm him, means to imply also in the other way, so he's also not specifically looking out for the other guy's good. In other words, he's not his good friend. Only then can he judge him. So he has to be neutral. Question is media. The pasuk says no such thing. The pasuk just says that he can't be an enemy and he can't be looking for his harm. Where are you getting all this?
You shouldn't love him too much.
Elof svarahu. No, you have to say rather that it's a svara. Oye is my time. After all, what would be the reason why the pasuk would be telling us that an enemy can't give aidus about him? Mishum de merachka daite, because they don't like each other. They're at loggerheads, and therefore he might give false aidus against the other guy. Well, oye him nam mekayva daite. Well, then a friend also. The problem is he might twist things in the other direction in favor of him. So therefore, it's logical that he can't give aidus. Okay, so that's all according to the Yehuda. V'rabbanan, what
is it? Svara.
Yes. That's all according to Rabbi Yehuda. What are the Rabbanon doing with this pasuk? The answer is Chad l'dayan. They have as follows. One half of the pasuk teaches us that the dayan cannot be somebody who doesn't like him. Because even though it's true, the edim, the difference is that edim, what they're saying is objective facts or not. He did this or he didn't do this. He borrowed money, he didn't, whatever. Dayanim, there's involved shikul hadas. You turn over the case in your mind, you consider the various arguments in its favor or against him. If the dayan doesn't like one of the people,
he won't think
so hard in his favor, and therefore it's going to come out a crooked judgment. So that's one of those words. Vahulai oyevlai means that if he's not his enemy, only then can he be a dayan. Idach, what do they do with the other one? Kidatanya. This is, they use it for the following.
The enemy would mean he hasn't spoken to him in 3 days?
Because of enmity. They haven't spoken for 3 days because the phone lines were down. Yeah. Okay. Idach, what is the other half of the pasuk? What would the Chachamim do with it? Kidatanya. They use it for what it says in the following braisa. When it says, we learn from this another thing. Not only the dayan can't be somebody who doesn't like one of the people in the din Torah, but also two of the dayanim can't not like each other. When it says, from this we learn that if you have two Tamar HaChamim who hate each other, they cannot sit together on a din Torah, because what's going to happen inevitably, because one of them doesn't like the other, and the feeling is probably mutual, if one of them comes up with an argument, the other one is the davka, because he doesn't like the guy, is not going to want to give that argument any weight. And therefore, the judgment is going to come out krum. Like this, you can have an argument which is a perfectly valid argument, and the other guy is going to think to himself, I'm definitely not going to accept this because it comes from a guy I don't like. But because of that, you can't do that.
So
that's it.
One of the situation in this shuna, this is exactly what's happening.
Politics are for another time.
No, it's not politics. It's halacha.
Okay. Halacha, if you have two people who don't like each other, they're not allowed to sit on the same basis. Fine. Okay, in the same din term. Mishnah says, "Kate said both can say edim. How do they cross examine the edim? So machnisin ois and lachedir. They start by bringing them into a room, or ma'aymin aleihem, and they scare them, as we'll see in the Gemara, what they tell them to scare them out of possibly testifying false.
They come with a big sword.
No.
And they point it to everyone. That's the Russian.
Umaytzi enes kala adam. Then they send everybody out of the room." Which implies, by the way, that the ma'amin takes place in front of everybody, and before I should say, the logic behind it is that way, it's more likely it'll have an effect on them, and if they're actually going to testify falsely, it'll actually scare them all. There is a girsa on the side over here, from the Yerushalmi and the Rif and the Rosh, that the girsa is an oisan lachut, in which case it means that when it comes to cross examining the first aid, we said that we definitely only keep in one aid at a time because we don't want them to cue each other or whatever. But the Messiah and Oysan Lachos would imply that we do send everybody out before, that we do send out even the Baal Edim when the Edim are being interrogated. Okay. We keep behind and based in Shtibol only the eldest of the two Edim. And we ask him, Emmer, tell us, you're saying that you know that Pliny owes Pliny money. How do you know? On what basis do you know? If he says, well, it's because he told me that he owes it. Or he says, Ish Pliny Amali Shu Chayav Loi. Or he says, I heard from so-and-so that this is the case, that Reuben owes Shimon X amount. Loi Amaklum, that's no good, because that's hearsay. That doesn't work.
Hearsay is
the record. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if the loiva himself, even if the supposed loiva himself says it in front of Edom, it doesn't work, as we'll learn in the Gemara, unless he says Atim Edai, unless he specifically says before he's going to do this Hadar, I want you to be the Edom that as we'll see in the Mishnah. The valid way of saying it would be that he would say that in our presence he admitted to him, and we'll see in the Gemara that he has to say, Atim Edai, you are my agent for this purpose, that he owes him 200.
If he hasn't, then he's
no good. Then they bring in the second aid and interrogate him. If it turns out that what they say is compatible, the word.
They also ask him if they said Edai.
Yeah, of course they have to ask him all the details. Now we've learned in the Gemara before, and we're going to learn later on as well, that minat Torah you need drisha b'hakira, you need a full cross examination for Edos and Dinei Mamonos, just like you do for Dinei Nefashim. The Rabbanim said no, because otherwise no delos with Neloven. You're going to make the Edim are going to get tripped up, they're going to make mistakes or whatever, and then the whole case is going to be thrown out. Nobody's going to. So in a trial of Dinei Nefashos, you have to have all that, but in Dinei Mamonos were more lenient on it. But still, you have to get from them the basic facts of the case. What? Durisha v'Hakira is the seven it was in Rashi today. Durisha v'Hakira is both. The Durisha v'Hakira is Shal Tehid, we learn it from. The seven is Hakira. Same thing. Okay. There's two different terms. The hakir
seems to me to ask you a question. And hakir means
the pasuk in this week's parasha, actually in today's chumash, uses the expression the darashta v'chakauta v'sha'alta heitiv, and Rashi explains over there that the words v'darashta v'chakauta teach us two out of the seven, and heitiv teach us three out of the seven hakiris, which we will learn in the next parak. That you have to ask. Edom of Dinei Nefashos, you have to ask them what day of the week, what day of the month, what year, etc. So by Dinei Nefashos, by Dinei Mamonos, Minat Torah, you should have to do that. Midrash Rabbanan, you don't. Midrash Rabbanan, it's enough if they say, for example, it happened yesterday.
Rashi doesn't make any difference between Drisha and Hakira.
Between Drisha and Hakira, no. So in Gemara terminology, in Mishnah and Gemara terminology, we use the word Hakira, and then against that is Bedikos, which Bedikos are things they ask them that are not directly relevant to the case, but that establish the circumstances or the background
Drisha,
or whatever.
Drisha and Hakira is
essentially the same thing.
Is where did he kill the guy and with what weapon?
Yes.
Bedikas
would be for
what
color shirt?
What color? The tree under which he was murdered.
Anyway, let's go on. In Nitzir Dibrei Mechuvanin, if what they're saying is compatible, and the word Mechuvanin, by the way, is interesting because the Yerushalmi points out that if they say the exact same thing, then Rav Huna would be very suspicious. Two people never describe the things in exactly the same words. If they do, there's a real possibility it was rehearsed. Therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, that's why the Mishnah used the word mechuvanin, meaning they're compatible, they match up, but not exactly the same word. Okay. Then noisin v'noisin v'dover, then the Dayanim start discussing the case. Shnayim v'mim zakeh v'echad v'mechayev, when it comes to the final judgment, if two of them say that he's not guilty, that he's exempt from paying v'echad v'mechayev, and one says that he's liable to pay zakeh, then he's not guilty, he doesn't have to pay. Shnayim v'mim chayev v'echad v'mim zakeh. If it's the other way around, two say that he has to pay, one says not. Chayev, then he's liable to pay. Echad v'mim chayev, because you can judge Dinei Mamonos based on a majority of one, as we learned in the first paragraph. Echad v'mim chayev v'echad v'mim zakeh. If you have one says he's liable and the other says he's not, and the third one says I don't know, after the shnayim v'zakeh and shnayim v'chayev v'echad v'mim any idea, or even if two of the dayanim say that he's liable or not, and one of out of the three. And one says, I don't know. In other words, you would think. It doesn't matter whether he says, I don't know or not. Either way, you have a majority in favor of it. still note you need all three dayanim to say their opinion. Therefore, you see four dayanim. Therefore, as we learned in the first page, you start adding dayanim until you reach till you're able to get to a majority. Gomra, a double when they of one or the other. All you need is a majority of one. Gomra, a double when they finally finish the matter. Hoy machnisinoisen, then they bring back in the Bali Din. Hagodosh, we'll talk of the Gemara on Daflam, and we'll talk about were the Bali Din outside during all of this, or were they in the base shtibble. We'll talk about that in the Gemara on Lamed. Okay, anyway. The head of the Dayanim said, the chief justice says, Mr. Pliny, you are Chayev. He says it in the name of the base. How do we know that when they leave the Beis Din Shtibul, that one of the Dayanim should not say, well, I would have wanted to declare you not guilty, or I was outvoted by the other ones. They're the ones who declared you guilty. What can I do after all the other guys outvoted me? You're not allowed to do that. On this, the Pasuk says, don't tell Lashon Hara among your people. But you have another Pasuk, one who goes about than Rachel, or the talebearer, is what is that? Megala Sod, somebody who reveals the secret. The decision of the Beis Din has to be that we don't know. There's no concurring opinions and separate opinions and whatnot, like you have, let's say, in the Supreme Court or whatever. The opinion is in the name of the entire Beis. If any of the Dayanim don't agree with it, tough luck. They were outvoted.
No, but the Supreme Court is different. They don't deliberate about the fact.
Okay, fine. But you do, because you have certain cases that go to them originally. That's not the point. Okay, maybe that's not a good example. But the point is, you don't have that Justice A writes an opinion and Justice B concurs with it and Justice C writes another opinion disagreeing, nothing like that. You have the opinion is in the name of the entire case.
Right.
So think about it. Hey, Chayam Rinan Lahu. What do we tell what exactly, when we say in the Mishnah Ma'ayman Alayhim that we try to scare the Edom out of testifying falsely, what do we tell them? Rabbi Yehuda says, we tell them as follows. We quote them a pasuk from Mishlei, Nesim v'ruach v'geshem ayin.
Why did the Gemara ask a question that the Mishnah did not?
Because that's the job of the Gemara, is to ask questions that the Mishnah doesn't ask. But before I should explain, the point of the question is, we're going to learn in the next parak when we talk about how they frighten them as far as dinin nefashos, that they explain to them that, for example, dinin nefashos, that we're irrevocable, whereas mamonas are, you can always return money, you can never return a lost soul. So the question is, if the Mishnah is telling us ma'ayman, then what do we need to tell them? What do we need to tell them? So we tell them like this, Nesim v'ruach v'geshem ayin, as the pasuk says, there can be clouds, there can be wind, but there's no wind. Why? Ish yishalav matas sheker, because you have people who are priding themselves on false, on a false gift, meaning, in other words, an aide who expects to get a gift for testifying falsely, or there's another explanation that it means, let's say, a person, this aide, for example, he wants Reuven to get X amount of money, but he's too cheap to give it himself, so he figures he'll testify falsely against Shimon. Shimon will have to pay Reuven, and that way Reuven will get that money. Anyway, the point is, as a result of people testifying falsely, there's no rain, there's a drought. However, Rava says, that's not going to work. Yachli lemeimer, the Edom can say to themselves, big deal. It's like the expression goes, shev shni havatapna, there can be there was a famine for 7 years, va'abava una lecholis, but still, the famine did not pass by the door of somebody who has a trade, because people still need business, and therefore, so his parnasa is secure, so that's not going to scare them so much. El Amar Rava, so no, rather Rava says, we tell Amrin, we quote them a different passage from Mishlei. Mefit v'cherev v'chetz shanun, a sledgehammer and a sword and a sharp arrow. These are all the tools of the Malach HaMavis. Ish oine b're'eu eid shaker. It comes about as a result of one person testifying falsely against another one. In other words, there'll be an epidemic. That ought to scare them. However, still, Amalei Ravashi.
We warn them
about the different tools that the Malach HaMavis has. However, Amalei Ravashi, says, still, Yachlu Lameimer, they can still rationalize to themselves, like as an expression goes, Shev Shni Hava Moisana, there was an epidemic going on for 7 years, the Inish Bolei Shnei Le Shchiv, and still nobody died at earlier than they were supposed to, it's still Minashamayim, when a person dies. That's not correct. I mean, it is correct, it's Minashamayim, but still, for example, the Gemara and Chagiga that mentioned sometimes the Malach HaMavis can make a mistake, but whatever, people can rationalize. So that doesn't work. Yeah, we learned about it in Chagiga. Let's get to the two dots. Nothing Bama Sutra told me, Aminim Lahu, we inform the Edom as follows. Sadi Shkori A'ograyu Zili. false Edim, they're even the people who hire them consider them low class, consider them worthless people. So in other words, we appeal to their self-respect. We also appeal to the fact if we find who these people are, we're going to bring them to Beis Din and they'll have no compunctions about testifying against you, etc. Dichtiv, as you find a pasuk, when in the whole story of Achav and Navos, when Navos was being railroaded over there, Izebel writes a letter to the people in charge over there in Navos' hometown. She says, "Vahishivu shnayim anashim bnei Belial negdo." They should have seated opposite him two bnei Belial, which means worthless people, it means rishoyim, whatever. V'iduhu, and they should lamer, and they should give testimony against him, saying, "Berachta elikim b'melach, you cursed the Edishter and the king, and therefore you chayav nisa." So we see that even she, in her letter, called the people who would do such a thing, called them bnei Belial, worthless people, rishoyim, or whatever. Even she, who was nothing to write home about either, she considers people like that who testify falsely for money to be contemptible
What's
people.
The story
over there, we learned the other day, that the Achav wanted Novice's vineyard, he wanted to turn it into a vegetable garden, Novice refused to sell, so Izebel says to Achav, I'll make it work, and she sends a message to the city over there telling him to frame Novice for the crime of cursing the Edishter and the king, that way he'll be Chayim Mitzah, and with false Edim, and that way he'll be put to death, and that way Achav can go take over the field. So we see, though, the point is, we see that even Izebel herself, who was a Shanta herself, even she called people who would do such a thing bnei Belial, worthless people.
Yes,
that's what we said. We tell these Edom that don't think if you took money for your Edos, don't think the people who hired you will respect you. Adraba, they'll look down. And Adraba, if you grow a backbone and you refuse to testify, then they'll respect you.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Of course, they never had to have the Tanakh to look at.
Well,
learn,
right. Okay.
Because they were in the middle, right?
Yeah. Okay.